You ready?
I am ready. I'm sick.
Your first ever podcast.
I'm kind of scared. I've never done this before.
Do you want to do my intro?
Your intro?
Yeah.
Hi guys, welcome to Back to Fun on Weekdays with Jenna Palik. I'm your host, Jenna Palik.
Perfect. And I'm your guest, Taryn Lamb.
This is my first podcast. Thank you so much for having me, Jenna Palik.
Every time I post like a story or something with you and I tag you, and it's always like the littlest tag because you know how like on Bachelor Monday nights, like,
yeah, they're like tiny.
It's just a cute picture, but then it's just the tiny little tags in the bottom. I'll get a reply every single time. Oh my God, you're friends with Taryn. I love her.
I get responses every time we post together. That's like, you know Jenna? Oh my God, my two favorite. Like, it's amazing. I'm like, that's, oh my God, that's so cool.
Well, I feel like we both followed the TikTok to creator arc, you know?
We did.
Okay, so when did you start working at TikTok?
The TikTok.
We didn't overlap, I don't think.
No, we never overlapped. I started working at TikTok in March of 2021.
Okay.
No, March of 2022, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, because I stopped working there in September of 2021.
Yeah, March of 2022.
Do you think we would have been friends?
Well, okay, we were on way different teams because you were on the growth team and I was on SMB.
Okay.
So I don't know if we would have really crossed paths, but I think so.
Well, so at the time that I worked there, the SMB was like,
non-existent probably.
Yeah, like kind of non-existent. I think they had like just started it. The growth team was like the mid-market.
Yeah.
And we were doing advertising, account management, whatever. When I started that job, I really thought that I was going to be like super creative and like in the weeds of making content and helping people. No, I was just looking at numbers that I didn't even know what they meant.
No, I literally was like, I work at TikTok. Like that is so cool. Like I'm going to be recording videos. We're going to be like talking about the newest filters. Like I thought it was going to be so cool. Like music, like we were just, it was going to be like this creative job. Like I worked at TikTok and I got there and they're like, okay, so this is your revenue goal. And here are all your advertisers and you better get them spending. And I was like, oh.
Do you feel like it was easier though? Because when I started, advertising was like not really a thing. Like it was, but we were just trying to convince people to even make a freaking account. Like we would go on, we'd make these pitch decks. I would show them like how many people are using a hashtag that includes their brand name and how many views there are. And I'd be like, here, this is why you should even make a TikTok account. Yeah. And then while you're at it, get onto our ads platform. So you feel like people are now on it and it's easier.
Yeah.
Or they're already advertising, so it's harder to find new people.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I guess when you would have started, it would have been so much of like the acquisition phase of like so many brands weren't on the platform yet because it was so new. So I can see why it was more like onboarding and getting people like even educated on what it is. When I started, it was still kind of that way. There were still a ton of brands, especially SMBs that weren't on it yet. So a big portion was like kind of the onboarding process and like the education of like, what is this? How does advertising work? But then I feel like kind of as I got into the role more, like 6-7 months in and a lot of, like kind of, you know, TikTok was, everybody started to get on TikTok. It was mainly like working with brands that were already on the platform and helping them like scale and grow and like helping them spend their money and how they should spend it, what videos they should run. So it was a lot more like in the weeds. And that part was actually really fun because it was like cool to work with like an SMB and like help them make better content and like actually help them see results. So that part was like pretty cool and rewarding. And I was on the fashion team, so it was fun.
Same.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same.
Wait, and was your manager Jennifer?
Yes.
Love her.
I know. She's such a badass.
Like she's such a badass.
Yeah.
She's the head of multicultural now.
No way. Yeah. I love that for her.
She's so cool.
Our team, when I started, I think there were like 7 of us or maybe even 6 of us when I first started. And then we grew to, I think, 12 or 15 by the time that I had left. But now I think it's pretty big. But anyways.
It's huge now. It's huge.
Yeah. And enough about advertising.
Yeah, this is gonna bore people. They're gonna be like, what are they talking about?
Okay, so you started at TikTok in 2022.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like it helped you as a creator? Because when did you start making TikToks?
Yes, that's a good question. I do think it helped me as a creator. Like it helped push me to do it. And I think it was really easy. And I guess we both kind of did this, but like it gave me so many ideas to make content because I was working there. So it was like, so much of my content was like, come to a day in the life to work with me at TikTok, talking about my job, talking about how I got into that job, resume stuff. Like I did a lot of career stuff. So
same. I had a stint where I used to make like resumes when I first started.
I saw
TikTok.
The TikTok resume back in the day. I was like, holy, that's crazy.
I made one for like, I think I made one for Instagram maybe too, just for fun.
Yeah.
Just for shits and giggles.
Like literally just for fun.
This was TikTok 2020 COVID. I just for fun made an Instagram resume and made a video about it.
For Instagram.
Like I'll have to find it too. I had like transitions in it. Like it's so
But you never
stupid.
Even applied?
No, I never applied. No, I just did it because I was like, here's some inspo. Like you guys followed me because you like my TikTok resume.
So here, if you want to work at Instagram, here you go.
Yeah. And I think I had a couple videos too about like how to make a themed resume. way because people had been reaching out like, oh my God, can you send me your template? I'm like, girl, it's not a template. I just had way too much free time. And I was drinking a double bottle of Barefoot in my sorority annex house. And I had nothing else better to do. So I was just crafting.
I'm dead. That's so cool.
I think I made it on like PowerPoint, Microsoft PowerPoint.
Oh my God. So we need to see this. I need to see this after.
I'll find it for you.
I need to see it. But I guess.
I forgot what I
even asked. I was like, wait, what was I saying? No, okay. So yes, it helped me in that, like it gave me ideas and I felt more confident about like what, I don't know. I just felt like, oh, I had something kind of cool about my life that like I could share. Whereas like my previous job, I worked at Oracle in sales and it wasn't the most glamorous or exciting job. Like I was cold calling people all day, wasn't loving it, didn't feel that amazing about it. So it wasn't something that I felt really comfortable posting about. But what's so funny, this is just totally off topic, but I worked at Oracle for a few months. I get recruited to TikTok while I'm at Oracle. It literally is a miracle by God's grace because I didn't have amazing experience for this role at TikTok. And I was also young, like I was 23. And I didn't have the experience. It was like they wanted 2 years of experience within advertising. I had like one. Anyways, I worked on this team at Oracle and I told Oracle like, hey, I got this opportunity. I can't pass down. I'm sorry. I have to leave. Like, I can't do this. And my manager was really understanding. He was like, dude, chase your dreams, whatever, go. So I post this video, my first day at TikTok. At this point, we're work from home. And I'm like, come with me. It's my first day at TikTok. I'm so excited. This is like before I was even posting on TikTok consistently. Mm-hmm. I made like a one-off video because I was so excited about my first day. Someone that I worked with at Oracle commented the meanest comments under this video being like, wow, you think you're so cool that you work there. Like you're so, and like called me like a boring, like a vanilla, boring ass, like white bitch. Like,
oh my God, it's not
like,
that serious.
It was like the most, like, I can't remember exactly what the comment said because
did you delete it?
So long ago. No, I kept them and I actually screenshotted them and I sent them to my old manager and I was like, this is really concerning. Your employees bullying me online because I decided to leave the job. Like, I just want you to know that about your employees is that they're bullying me. And it was like the most insane, calling me like plain, vanilla, boring, like, and then saying like, I wish I could pull it up. But
well, I'm more so concerned, like, why do you care so much? Like, why are you so obsessed with Oracle?
They were so mad that I left Oracle. Oh my God. I was like, that just shows that I shouldn't be working at this company.
It kind of is though. Like, I did this podcast episode with Anna, my friend Anna, who worked at Oracle. And she was talking to you about just the culture of when you start there, you start in this big cohort and you're with all these people that are your age and it becomes like your friend group.
Like a frat in a sorority. Like, it becomes like Greek life.
Yeah. Do you think that's just what it is? They're just like,
yes. And everyone goes out together. You go out, like we went out on rainy together. Everyone's friends, people date. Mm-hmm. I can't really like say that considering I'm now dating a man that I worked with, but it's an interesting dynamic. But however, if you're brand new to Austin, you don't know anyone.
Meet one person from Oracle. It's a great place
to meet people. It really is. And like make a network and stuff. But anyways.
Okay. So on your first day, you got bullied. You made a TikTok video. I made a TikTok video too.
So mad that I worked.
It was like, I remember, oh my God, I remember the outfit. I remember it all. I was wearing these like mid wash denim jeans with rips all down the legs. And do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Those were the like complete.
They were everything. They were everything and more. I wore them out to the bars and then I wore them on my first day at my remote job. And then I wore this like black polka dot top that tied in the back. And I wore these turquoise dangly earrings. Why did I wear that? And I made a video getting out of bed and I'm like, okay guys, today's my first day at TikTok. Like, thanks so much for following along. I'm gonna have to find the video. But it's kind of cute. It's kind of nostalgic.
The polka dots reminds me of like just,
I know, it gives like, you know that Kendra Scott?
Yeah, like Kendra
Scott.
Their
Yellow Rose and new like collection Peplum thing. Tops. Like and Chevron. Energy.
Chevron,
yeah. Wait, okay, so now that we're talking about TikTok, so there's this new feature, it's called Creator Insights.
Yes.
Search. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Okay, so basically, what are yours?
Let me see.
Pull up yours, because mine are, there's some ones.
Wait, that's such a good idea. But like, we need to explain what that is.
Okay, what do you look up again?
So,
you go to your main page, and then you go to look something up.
Creator search tool, right?
Yeah. Creator search insight. That was nice.
View. Okay.
And then it'll show you the search topics for your following and what you are following is looking up. And then it gives you recommended topics to post videos about. So essentially from here, if you were to press the record button and I make a video about this, they are telling me that if I made a video about the cast of Avatar, The Last Airbender, then 75% of my search would like the video.
No way. Okay, wait. Mine is Get Ready With Me Skincare Kids. Probably means skincare vids, I assume. It's like the Get Ready With Me, like those teenagers, like the little like middle schoolers that make videos.
Oh, okay. Well, can they make it like teenagers, I think kids is kind of
kids is weird. Yeah.
Who is following you?
Healthy, yummy dinner, slay. Comfort foods, Bondi Boost blowout brush, cast of Avatar, air fryer grilled cheese, avocado and condensed milk. This is so funny.
Avocado and condensed milk, is that something?
I think that's like,
are we missing out on something there?
I believe, I don't want to, I know that's a certain type of, I think, dessert in a certain country, but I don't know which country it is, so I don't want to get it wrong. But I know it is when it's somewhere, I don't know. I really don't know.
This one's good for me.
But I've seen it.
I have 86% search popularity with passive aggressive. I feel like that's really fitting for me.
It's Filipino.
Oh, it's Filipino. It's
a Filipino avocado dessert.
That was quick. How did you search that so fast? You're like, nobody is canceling me from this podcast. Anybody takes this clip? Are you ever scared you're going to be canceled?
I mean, I think who wouldn't live with a little fear of that? But that's like, so also I'm like, if you want to cancel me, okay, I'm canceling you, bitch. I'll turn the phone off. And then who's canceled? You're canceled. Because I can't see it.
I recently started this. Well, you know this. Okay, you guys, I have to give you like a behind the scenes. I have to tell you about this. So you know how my search bar has been bullying the shit out of me lately? And it's like Jenna Palik bald. Jenna Palik. Actually, on my most recent video, I'm talking about the nonprofit event and the search is Jenna Palik cheap. Because I was asking for people like businesses that wanted to donate and be a part. I'm like, fuck you if I'm cheap for raising money for a homeless woman in Austin. That makes me cheap. Whatever. I can't. So we realized everybody was over for Bachelor Monday one night. And I was like, yeah, people just keep freaking making my search bars annoying things. And they're doing it to piss me off. And it's working because it was pissing me off. So we're like, I wonder how many times you have to search something in order to make it your search bar. So we're all sitting there.
We did a test.
Jenna Palik, nice. Jenna Palik, genuine.
Jenna Palik, genuine. Jenna Palik gives back. Jenna Palik, like we were literally just searching Jenna Palik philanthropic. Like the funniest thing.
Just the opposite of what they were making my search bars.
But it was just three of us doing it.
Yes. And after I think everybody did it like two times, it made the search bar Jenna Palik nice.
Jenna Palik nice.
And it stayed like that for a while.
Yeah.
So then I also learned this thing where I can block words from your comment section. You can block keywords. Yeah. And so if you block the words from your comment section, it blocks it from your search bar.
Oh.
So I've been having fun seeing how creative people get. If you saw my like blocked words bar, it's like Jenna Palik chuggy, cheap. Jenna Palik illiterate. Jenna
Palik illiterate.
Oh my. Yeah, it was called illiterate. But to be fair, in the video I did use the complete wrong form of a word and I said it out loud in a sentence.
What word?
So I would have to go back and watch it now.
God, that's so funny.
But I'm like, okay, whatever.
Whatever. I spelled rainy on my story yesterday, like the street, because I'm so used to seeing it that way.
Oh, and then I was with
like,
the E?
It's rainy. And I was like, oh. Like with the E, yeah. I don't know why my brain thinks it's rainy with the E because of the street, but.
It's always like the little typos too.
We all make little typos, you know?
Okay, anyways.
It's no big deal.
We just go off on the longest tangent.
Yeah, where were we?
Okay, we were at somebody bullying you from Oracle. You worked at TikTok. Okay, lead us to Rafa.
Okay, let's get into it. The relationship that blossomed in corporate America.
I love that. Were you worried about HR at all?
Yes.
Really?
So, no, I mean, like not so really, normal. But more just like when it first started, it wasn't like we are starting this to be boyfriend and girlfriend, right? It was like, I'm interested in this guy. I'm interested in him. He's interested in me. This is fun. But like, did either of us think we were going to start dating and be together? And like, I was going to fly to Mexico and meet his entire family. Like not really in that moment. So it was kind of like, ooh, if this ends, that's kind of awkward. And then HR like knows. And I don't know. It just like, what if people, we just more were like concerned of like, what if this doesn't go the way we want it to? And then it like makes an uncomfortable work environment or something for people. And HR gets in, like, is like, what's happening with you guys? I don't know.
Did you ever have teachers in high school or middle school or anything that were like dating or married?
Yeah. That type of vibe.
I feel like that is worse. There were like a couple teachers in my high school that started dating when I was in school. And then they actually ended up like getting married. But can you imagine like in a school, if you break up, I feel like at TikTok and like a corporate setting when it's like a bunch of like young people and it's not like teenagers, I feel like that's pretty normal.
And TikTok's, I mean, sure, it is a corporate job, but it's not that corporate in comparison to like working at like Goldman Sachs or like a very corporate, like investment banking. Like, no, TikTok's very young. It's hip. It's trendy. Like there were other relationships within the org. So that also gave me peace. Cause like there was someone else who had started dating. So,
I love that though. Cause then you always have something to like hear about at the office.
Yeah. And of course, once we had this little fling and people could just pick up on it, even though we hadn't been public at all, there was all these like,
wait, did you guys go into the office
at this time? Like not when we first started seeing each other, but about 5 months in or okay. so, they were like, return to office. And that is right when we started like officially dating. So okay. Like, this is going to be interesting. Because we'd been dating for 5 months without an office. And then we had to transition to seeing each other every single day. Not every single day, but 3 days a week.
Wait, okay. So when you started seeing him every day at work, did it kind of make you want to see him less outside? Because you're like, oh, I got my fill for the day. Like, I want to go home and be alone.
Honestly, well, so how I first met him is he was on my team. Okay, at TikTok. So I log on my first day of work. I get on a meeting. No, he was on my like team. Like my team was only like 6, 7, 8 people.
Okay.
So it was a small team of like, I was called account management team one, and he was on account management team one. And I like got on my first Zoom call and I saw this guy and I was like, wow, he's so cute. Like he is so cute. Oh my God. Wow. Why is my coworker so hot? And
what then, I do when I'm on a Zoom is I only look at myself and I'm like,
yeah,
fixing my hair.
And then of course, once I see that I have this hot coworker, every single team call, I'm like, I never get like ready for work. Mm-hmm. I'm like beating my face. Like I'm trying to look so good. Anyways. So once we were back in office, we were no longer on the same team. He had moved teams. Okay. So that was nice is that we didn't honestly see each other very much in office other than like, hi, good morning.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're in the kitchen and grabbing a snack, but we weren't like sitting by
each other. Kind of like that, like tension.
No, literally. Or we were kind of like sitting diagonal from each other. So like, but he was so funny because I'd always be like tapping him and trying to ask him questions like, hey, did you see this? Hey, how do you do this? And he was like, Taryn, leave me alone. Like he'd be like, Taryn, like.
Because he was trying to play it low key.
Yeah, he's like, let's play it low key. Like, let's not be that couple in the office that's mm-hmm. like chatting. So yeah, but honestly, I don't feel like I would be like, oh, I've had enough. Because we really tried to separate ourselves at work so that people didn't feel, we both didn't want people to think of us as a couple and not like individuals, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, so when did you slide into his Lark?
So
Lark is basically the way that people communicate on it's do other Lark companies have that?
Like I think Slack so.
Yeah.
Of ByteDance.
One time.
I think I believe it's a Chinese owned. Yeah, it's owned by ByteDance, so it's a Chinese owned company, Lark. So if TikTok gets banned, I don't know if they'll still use Lark or what. I don't know. That's another topic we should probably.
Actually, wait, should we talk about that really quickly? Do you think TikTok's gonna get banned?
I don't. I have like no worries about that.
Honestly, I know, me too.
I mean, it's a little bit scary, obviously, like I get it. But no, I mean, realistically, like if that, which I guess it already got passed the bill, right?
I think I'm just being
like, I know that things need to be signed and it's mm-hmm. not gonna be official or anything, but I believe ByteDance will have a certain amount of time. I don't know how, it's a certain amount of months to sell the company to a US entity if, you know, they want it to mm-hmm. survive and still exist in the US. And I think, my opinion, this is not facts nor fic. I don't know. This is not, take this as you will. This is just my opinion. But
Breaking news. I don't think
that ByteDance would like completely just miss out on the American market and be like, it's banned in the US. Like, I do think they would sell it to a US entity because the US is ByteDance's biggest market.
That is kind of crazy.
But again, that's just my thought process on it. Like for whatever reason, I'm not scared.
I know, I'm choosing to live in oblivion.
But it's like, scary that like my boyfriend works there. So that's his livelihood. And then I do TikTok and work within TikTok and that's my livelihood. So TikTok gets banned. I don't know what both of us will do, but
this is bringing me back to 2020 when I first moved here. On the day that I got to Austin, I had just drove from Ohio to Austin. We get here. I'm unpacking my stuff on Rainy Street. I get a text from a friend and they're like, have you seen this? Like, are you going to keep your job? And it was when, it was before the next election. I think like Trump had announced that he was banning TikTok. And it was the day that came out that I had moved here. I was like, yeah. Oh my God, am I going to lose my job? Like, what am I supposed to do? I guess I could just bartend on Rainy Street. Like, honestly, I would probably make more money doing that. I honestly think you'd make the killing.
Salary was not great.
Really?
When I was working there, yeah.
Wait, can you share it? Do you care to share it?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've been gone from the company for a good, like at first, like right when I left, I didn't want to share mm-hmm. because I was like, I feel like it's so fresh, you know?
Well, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I don't mind sharing it now. My starting salary at TikTok, it's funny, I've never shared this, but I would share it on TikTok, honestly. My starting salary though at TikTok was 57,000.
Oh girl, you're above me.
Which wasn't bad. Like that's not a bad salary by any means. And in fact, that was the most I'd made. What was way more than I was making at my previous job.
Yeah.
But more just like I found out once I started working there what other people in the exact same role as me were making.
Oh, really?
And it was significantly, there was more. It was more. And but then I realized that it was based off of experience and I didn't have the experience that some of these other people had. So at first mm-hmm. I was like, what, my God, why isn't my salary the same as these other? But it was also frustrating because the more, like the longer I worked there, I realized that these people that were making more than me, we were really doing the same job and I felt just as talented and as skilled as they were or whatever. So it was just like frustrating knowing that I made a good amount less, but it wasn't as, I guess, as much as you think that it would be when you hear TikTok. Like you think big tech, you're going to make so much money.
Yeah.
And it was a great salary for my age and where I was at and everything, but just wasn't, I feel like people think it's like way more.
Did you make commission on like sales goals?
Yeah. And okay. So then that was the base. And then I could make a certain amount in commission. But, you know, I have to say, like, it's not that easy to always hit your revenue goal in any job. So sure, some quarters things were fine and some, like, obviously I wasn't always meeting it depending on how that quarter went for me and stuff. So
I remember, I feel like, my starting salary was 40.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, but now that I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, $40,000. Like if we didn't make any of our sales goals, like you would not be able to live in Austin with that. You would be able to make it work for sure. But like, oh my God.
No.
But then at the end of the year, because we were still so new, we were blowing our sales goals out of the water. I'm like we had so many people coming on.
Oh my God.
And the way that ours was structured too, was that if our entire team hit goal, then you get like a bonus, you get like a multiplier on it essentially.
Totally, yeah, I think we got that too.
Yeah, and then it wasn't until the end of my time there that you also had an individual goal as well that contributed towards it. So let's say maybe you don't meet your individual goal because let's say the month before you onboarded 20 new brands, that's great, and your goal was only like 5 or 10. Well, then let's say like the next month is slow. If you don't make it, whatever quarter, but your team still does, you still make the bonus, but you don't make the full amount of the bonus. But I remember getting my like W-9 back or whatever. And I think it was around like 90 before taxes in total. Good. Yeah. But tax, oh my but God, taxes. Taxes.
Yeah. I know. My first job in Austin, I went, my first job, I worked at a marketing agency here. Starting out of college was $32,000.
Oh my God.
Nothing, no bonus, nothing. Like that was just all the money I made, which at the time it was because I'd never made money before in my life other than working at Dutch Bros. I was like,
Dutch Bros?
I was like, yay, that's like amazing. Like this is a lot of money because I'd never made more than what I made at Dutch Bros part-time. So I moved here like all happy and jolly. And then I was like, wait, I have literally no money to spend. Like it was all on my rent.
Do you think, okay, speaking of like fun on weekdays and finances, do you feel like at that time when you were making $32,000, you had less opportunity to like have fun and do things in your life?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I was like so stressed out and like sad and just like I felt like I was in a relationship at the time and he was also starting out in his career. We were both not very financially stable by any means and like we couldn't, on the weekends it was like we couldn't go out to dinner.
Yeah.
I mean we could get takeout or whatever maybe once a week or something, we go get Cabo Bob. So like I guess now I feel like, oh, every once in a while Ruff and I can go out to a nice dinner and we can get drinks and like it's something we treat ourselves to and I don't think too much about it. But then like, oh my God, like if I went out to a dinner and spent $80, I would have been like, like, holy shit. I didn't have my nails done. And I didn't get my hair. Like there was just like, there was no like shopping. Everything I owned at the time was like fast fashion and things that I could afford. And that's why, like, I mean, I try not to buy fast fashion anymore, but I also don't like shit on people that do all the time because sometimes like that's literally all you can afford.
Yeah.
And I really wanted cute clothes that other girls had. And like, I could not buy Aritzia and Reformation. And I did buy some fast fashion stuff.
Which I feel like 2020 as well was like that peak time of where like Shein fashion was like everything.
Yeah.
Like if I look back at pictures of what I was wearing in 2020, I'm like, what am I wearing? Like that is so not me. But it was like trendy at the time. You know, like the swirl patterns and like the floral applique on everything.
Like everything.
Oh my God, the exposed stitching and the patchwork denim.
The patchwork denim. Oh my God, yes. And so
it was everything.
And that was like the time period where everyone was buying it and you were seeing it all over TikTok and I was too, and now I really obviously try.
And we were wearing it in our houses too. We weren't even going anywhere.
I was not going anywhere.
That's kind of like our generation's version. Well, not our generation. That's like the 2020 version of the 2016 like black shoelace choker and the V-neck top with the crisscross from Express. Did you ever have that?
Yeah.
Wait, oh my God, how old are you?
25.
Oh, 25.
I almost just forgot. How old are you? 26?
Yeah. Okay, I don't want to talk about it. I'm turning 27 this year. Can you believe that?
What? Oh, well, September.
September 30th.
Okay, I'm turning 26 in October. That's crazy.
When's yours?
I feel like 27 is not bad at all.
No, it's not. And listen, I have a really cute theme for my birthday party. I saw it on TikTok. Actually, Sammy showed it to me. It's 27 dresses for my 27th birthday. So I'm going to have everybody over and we're going to do like a backyard dinner party and I'm going to have everybody wear like a dress, either just a pretty dress that you haven't had a chance to wear or rewear a bridesmaid dress that you spent so much money on. You had to get it like altered and everything. Yeah. You're never going to wear it again. But then I also feel like it'd be so fun if I made the boys wear dresses, like everybody's boyfriends. Wouldn't that be fun?
I love it. That would be so funny and like so fun.
And you can make it so cute. And then
I
also
need to see Rafa in a dress and heels. You should make the boys wear heels too. I would love that.
Do they make heels? What size shoe does he wear?
Like a 10 in men's, but they definitely make that. We could find them. No, like we can go thrifting. Do. We can find things.
That would be so fun.
Because have you ever seen the high heel races? Oh my God, you should make the men race in high heels.
Oh my
God. I don't
gosh.
Know what I'm, why am I, this is your birthday party. What am I doing?
No, you can plan it. That's really fun. If you want to plan it, I've actually never had a surprise party. If you want to plan it and I'll just act surprised.
Okay.
And everybody else that's listening can be in on it too.
It sounds
I've
really
always
fun,
wanted a surprise birthday party.
I know. Me too.
I'm like,
I've never had one.
That's the epitome of somebody absolutely loving you, is like going out of their way to surprise. Oh, actually, I take that back. Lily, you've never met Lily,
no,
have you?
No.
I feel like everybody's met her in spirit because I talk about her so much. So for my 23rd birthday, or no, my 24th, I don't know. The years just jumble together, you know? Mm-hmm. People always say that, like my parents would always say that, be like, I don't know how old I'm turning this year. I'm like, what do you mean? My birthday is the celebration of the year, but now I get it.
I get it too. I literally, when you're like, how old are you? I was like, 25.
She coordinated this limo that took us to, have you ever been to Pizza and Park?
No.
Okay. It's this like place in Round Rock. They have go-karts, putt-putt, an arcade, like a little indoor roller coaster. And when I say little, it's like tiny.
Yeah.
But it was so fun.
Oh my God.
And I just thought we were going to dinner.
Yeah.
And so we're like taking pictures up on the rooftop of my old Rainy Street apartment.
Yeah.
I used to live at the Camden.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And I was literally just about to say something like, oh, I probably shouldn't expose where we live. I probably shouldn't say that. But then we go downstairs. I think we're getting an Uber and it's this like giant pink limo from West Campus Limos. Have you ever taken one of those?
Never. It sounds so fun though.
They're
like
time.
Party limos.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my
that
God.
Was like before Fetty was a thing. Fetty now is kind of like the cool, trendy way to go, but we didn't have that. We just had West Campus limos. So I am like, oh my God, is this for me? And then she opens the door and everybody's in there. And like Connor came, my friends came, and we all went to this place and we like played arcade games. I'm like, this is so me. So I have had a surprise birthday.
Wait, that's so fun that she did that for you though.
I know.
That's
so sweet. I cried because I was like, oh my God, no one's ever done a surprise party for me. And I loved it.
That's so cool. Great. Oh my God. Now I have to look into that for my next birthday.
Well, now you have a lot to live up to for my birthday.
I feel like though with getting older, like do you not, okay, I'm curious your thoughts on this. Cause I was saying this the other day when my friends were like, I can't believe I'm turning 25. And I was like, I mean, yeah, like getting older, it's kind of scary, but I'm also like, I feel like every year I get older, my life has just gotten
better. Yeah.
It's like every year. Yeah. Like it just gets better. Like I don't want to be 21 again, even though there was like so many fun memories that happened when I was 21 and things like that. Like I don't want to be at that place in my life.
Is there anything that you want from your life from when you were 21?
That's a great question.
I want the ability to not get a hangover. Like
I still got them then.
You did? I didn't know what a hangover was. Like I would always say, oh, I'm hungover, but I never had a hangover until I was probably 23 or 24. Like ever at all. Wow. It wouldn't faze me. I would be tired.
Yeah. Like tired, but you were like fine. Or like craziest things in college, thinking of like a hangover used to be like, oh, you kind of feel bad in the morning, but then like by 12, you're fine. Like, oh, what are we doing? Like that can.
And you get the hangover giggles too. That's like the best.
Oh my God. There's like, I miss just like being in my college. That's what I miss from being 21 is being in my college house and laughing with my roommates and being stupid. But other than that, no, like I don't miss, like my health was not in a good place then.
Oh,
I was
not
drinking. I never worked out. I was eating either not enough or too much, which sometimes I still do that, but. Yeah, I was not, no, in a bad relationship. Like, no, I don't miss anything.
Yeah, I feel like I was not really taking care of myself.
Not at all.
But people ask me all the time, like, advice for post-grad, life after college. And I'm like, I think I am somewhat alone when I say it, but I really love my life after college. Like,
me too.
Don't get me wrong. I loved college. I had a great time. I met some really awesome friends, great experiences. But I just feel like
same
life after college, you get to do whatever you want.
100%. Yeah, college was amazing, and I preferred college to high school 100%. Where some people had a great high school experience and not as great of a college experience. But I feel like the biggest thing post grad for me that like changed my life was leaving my hometown. Like if I was still at home, I don't know what I would be doing. I don't know if I would be as motivated. I don't know if I'd be happy. Like, you know, I think that was the biggest thing was like moving. And I felt like when I moved to Austin, I was like, I have this opportunity to like rebrand. Or become whoever I want to be, because I'd been in Oregon my whole life and everyone knew me as this, like, whatever. I was in a box. Like, everyone knew me as this girl that, whatever. Like, They just knew me for me. And I was like, now I'm moving. And I didn't know anyone here. Literally did not know a single person. No one from home was here. And I was like, I can just kind of rebrand or like start over and like mature out of this like college
phase
and self and do whatever I want. And it was life changing.
My management company is called Wasserman. So I'm part of the Wasserman creators for like the influencer, like online personalities, if you want to call me that.
Online personalities.
it's like a really, that's actually a nice way to put it.
It is. Well, next time someone's asked you if you're an influencer, I'm actually an online personality, but thanks.
What's your favorite thing that you say when people ask if you're an influencer? Do you say anything else?
I say, if someone asks me like, are you an influencer? I'm like, I mean, like, yeah, you can say that, but I mean, I kind of just, I mean, I'll be like, oh, sure, whatever. But I never would be like, hi, I'm Taryn and I'm an influencer. Never.
Yeah, I would never lead with
but
that.
But if someone asks me like, I'll be like, oh yeah, I do social media. Whatever, mm-hmm. I make content and stuff like that's how I frame it. But
yeah, like, oh, that's
influencer,
so cool. Who do you work
it
for?
Just feels so, it is, does feel like a dirty word. It does, right?
I know you had that panel the other day and they were talking about it and how it's like not a dirty world. And I'm like, but I still feel a little silly saying it. But I like to say that I work in advertising. I'm like, oh, I work in advertising. Wait, and I host events.
That's great. That's perfect.
It's like a good way to put
it. Wait, but okay, sorry, you were saying you went to an event alone before we've like keep opening a topic and then completely shifting.
I love to do that though. I love to do that. I think, do you have ADHD?
Horrible.
I think I do too. How do you know?
I think you do too, because I have it and I can sense it when other people have it. And I do think you have it.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Thank you for noticing. Have you ever like gotten diagnosed or anything?
By myself. Yeah. No, I have.
By WebMD.
No. So I actually went to therapy like 3 times.
Yeah.
3 times. And I stopped going. The last time I went was a couple months ago. I went to therapy when me and Connor had a little rough patch. And I think I talked about it on the podcast before, but I was just like everything in my life at that point, I think it had to crumble in order for me to be like, to snap back into who I am.
Yeah.
So part of that was going to therapy and like recognizing why I felt certain ways. And literally after the first 30 minutes, she goes, do you think that you, have you ever maybe considered that you have ADHD or maybe like perfectionism?
Yeah.
I'm like, perfectionism, that's like not, you can't be diagnosed with perfectionism. I'm sorry.
Here's a supplement for perfectionism.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think they would give you?
Even if you get diagnosed with it, it's like, and like, what do I do now? Like, what do I do with that information?
What would you prescribe? Wait, do you listen to Jake? Oh my God, fuck! There we go again. Do you listen to Jake Shane's podcast?
I've listened to a few, but not all of them.
Okay, you know how,
but
he,
I love
like,
him.
Prescribes things. Yeah, what would so you? What would you prescribe to perfectionism? Wanting to please everybody. I think hate pages. I think that's what I would prescribe somebody.
Wait, like you would prescribe them to make that?
Oh wait. No, for them to read it. Because then you would have to come to terms with the fact that you're not gonna please everybody.
I think that's the perfect thing. It's like just realize that like no matter you could literally host an event trying to get women off the street and people are gonna be mad about it. Like people are calling you cheap. People are calling you cheap for wanting to help women get off the street. That to me is unreal, the most chronically online thing I've ever heard in my life. But anyways, yeah, I would probably prescribe, I guess, reading some hate pages. But I also would never prescribe that because just don't look at it. Like oblivion is bliss.
Well, yeah, that would definitely help. But okay, I think I have both of those things. And then again, on that topic, I don't know where we were going. It's getting to that point of the day. You get to a point where it hits 3 o'clock for me.
3:30. I don't even know.
Oh, this checks out. It gets to 3 o'clock for me where I just start to... my mind starts to shift. I can't do anything past the time of like 4:30 at all.
No, same. And then I know when that time hits like 4 or 5 at the, like, I know I'm done. Like, don't try because you're not going to be able to get anything done at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's like, also like, what else do I do with myself? I don't know. Wait. Okay. ADHD prescribing. I definitely think you might have it. Mine went to the event.
Oh my gosh. Okay. It goes back to the Wasserman event.
Yeah. So you went to the Wasserman event alone. Explain to us how that was.
Okay.
I need to hear.
So they were hosting this concert for, they have like a music part of the agency where they represent artists. So they had this concert. It was at Mohawk and I've never been there. Have you been there?
Never.
Okay. So I walk into the venue and on the left side of the wall, there's this poster and it says mannequin pussy on the left side of the wall. And I walk in and it's like, just like cigarette smoke in the air. And I was coming alone and I actually wore this cute little like Target jumpsuit and a denim jacket. And
what was it again?
But thank God
what
I wore
was it,
that.
Pussy?
Mannequin pussy.
Mannequin pussy.
That was just a sign that was on the wall, but that really set the tone. I was just like, what? Where am I getting into? It was definitely more like a grungy, like Austin original place. Like, it's a very iconic music venue, but I had just never been there. And it was very, very casual. I'm so thankful that I did not wear a sundress. Can you imagine me showing up there in the yellow
like
dress?
Like a little yellow Sharpie? Sundress. Like,
yeah, the yeah. Sharpie dress.
And it was like rock music?
So no, actually. Okay. I think there were some like rock artists, but it was a bunch of different genres. So on the one side inside, there was this like DJ and she was awesome. It was bopping, music is blasting. People are like raving inside. I am sober and I show up. I'm like, okay, I'm really putting myself out there right now because I told my management I was going to show up. I have to go.
Yeah.
And I never do stuff like this anymore. And also my phone was about to die. So I'm like, okay, cool. I was thinking about making a video, like come to an event alone with me, but I didn't have my phone too. And I was going to use my phone as a clutch, you know?
Yeah, right. Especially like going to things alone, like without
a phone. Yeah, I just talk to my phone.
Because then what? You have a moment and you're just...
like, no, that's... You just actually have to be present. Ugh.
Wow, imagine that.
So then the other guy that I actually went to go see was Shaky Graves.
Okay.
And he was awesome playing outside, but I didn't know what to do with myself, like at all. So
were you dancing?
There. No. Well, kind of. I was like
swaying.
Did you
get a drink? I feel like it's less awkward if you're holding a drink.
No, I did. I got a drink. I got a tequila Sprite with a splash of grenadine. I don't know what came over me.
Dirty Shirley tequila.
Yeah. I got up to the bar. I don't know what came over me, but I was like, oh my God, I haven't ordered like a drink at a bar in a long time. Usually we're like sitting down.
Yeah. And it's like
at dinner. And I was alone too. So I'm like, I can't even buy time to be like, what do you want? What do you want? You know? And then also, ironically, the girl that was standing next to me in line was like, I'm kind of looking around, just checking out my surroundings. And she goes, oh my God, are you Jenna? I'm like, hi.
Oh, perfect.
And of course, the first thing I had to tell her was, I'm here alone. Yeah. And I had to like explain to her why I was there. But yeah, it was a good time. And honestly, I left that and I was like, that was pretty fun. Yeah. I did stand there awkwardly. Like
it's a good experience too.
Yeah.
Do that. I think, doing those types of things. Whether it's like an influencer type of thing, or even if it's just going to a run club or it's going to the gym or whatever it is.
Oh yeah. You host a run club.
That's really how you branch out and meet people. Like you have to go to those things. My brother moved to Austin a year ago and I've told him, cause he doesn't know anyone either. I'm like, cause he's so regimented in his routine of like what he does. I'm like, but you have to not be so that you can go to these things, these one-off things and meet people. Like that's how you meet people is like, you can't just isolate yourself, whatever. But yes, I do host a little run club. And that's been interesting for me because I've never like done something like that. And I've never like stood up in front of people that have come to something, whether it's for me or for just to run or whatever it is, like come to something that I've posted on social media. I've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like weird. Cause I'm like, I don't know.
Isn't it crazy to see a real life like outcome of something that you post?
Yeah. That's the weirdest thing is it's I'm like, so like I posted about it and girls came and then. For me, like I just really started actually doing TikTok consistently a year ago. So in my head, I'm like, I don't believe that like I have anyone that cares enough to come to something like this. Like that doesn't make any sense to me still a little bit. So I'm like, it's just been weird. And I stand up there in front of these people and I literally, my knees shake because I'm like, hi guys, thank you so much for coming. Like you don't have to be here, but like, no, I'm kidding. But yeah, that's been a really good experience. And like, I did these kind of things with Stanley last week where I hosted these little picnics.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. And I'm so sad. No, I wanted to go so bad because I want one of those coolers.
It was so fun. But a lot of the people that came to the picnics, I didn't know personally. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just like people that followed me. It was like a mixture of people. But I wanted to like make sure that I went up to everyone and said, hi, I'm Taryn. Thanks for coming. Whatever. Cause I was kind of co-hosting it with Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never, like, I don't know, 3 years ago, going up to random strangers and being like, hi, I'm Taryn. Thanks for coming. Where are you from? Like, that would freak me out so hard.
Yeah.
And just, like, that exposure therapy works so well. Because I just, like, Taryn, just go up and do it. I was still so nervous.
I know.
And I just feel like you just keep getting better and better at it and feeling more comfortable. And it's, like, a skill that I'm so thankful to be, like, building, you know?
Yeah, I feel like social media.
Because it's so hard to do that shit.
I think posting online allows you to be more confident in yourself.
Yeah.
And then...
But at the same time, it can wreck your confidence. Like,
yeah,
it can. Do both.
It can.
It's a double-edged sword.
I know. It totally is. Oh, you're so right.
It's crazy. Because it's helped me build confidence so, so, so much. Like, it's actually crazy because I used to post things and delete them. Like, I would just, like, you know what I mean? I'd post an Instagram story. That's embarrassing. And I'd delete it.
What would you post? Were they like...
Did I post like a picture of my breakfast and be like, oh my God, Taryn, that's so embarrassing. Delete that. Like, you know, I was so embarrassed. So then doing it more and just like saying fucking and doing it has helped so much. But then at the same time, it's like... It can make you more self-conscious too. Mm-hmm.
I do think that like meeting people offline though, that like follow you or whatever, like show up to an event or are supporting you. I do think helps you be more confident in front of people though. Yeah. I feel like I'm at the point now where I've hosted so many events and I've done so many meetups that like you get so comfortable speaking in front of people.
Yeah. It almost becomes like not like,
yeah. Yeah. And you just, I don't know, in a way I feel like I'm talking to friends because I know that even though I don't know these people, like they know me, you know? Yeah. So it is comforting in a way, and especially hosting your own run club. Like those people are coming cause they know you, cause they saw you post it. But it's crazy. Cause like, you know, of course you can see how many people click a link that you share on your Instagram story, but for them to physically actually bring their body.
9 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a big ask.
I'm curious if you think this too, because like when I post online, I'm not necessarily trying, like I've gotten over the like trying to please everyone with what I say or what I'm posting about it, whatever. Like to me, I know I'm not going to please everyone and that's fine. But when it's an event, I really want everyone to have fun and I do want to please everyone. So like at the run club, the whole time I'm just like running around. I want to make sure I meet everyone. I want to make sure everyone gets a drink. I want to make, like, we do a raffle. I try to give away prizes and things like that. Like I want everyone to have the best experience. And I'm like so hyper fixated on them, like having a good time. And cause I would hate for someone to come and be like, oh my God, I went to Taryn's run club and like, it was whack.
Yeah.
But then like online, I'm like, if they watch my video and don't like it, sorry. Like keep swiping. Like, I don't care. But if it's like something.
Yeah. Well, it's a personal experience.
I'm like, you have to have a good experience. I know. This or I'm going to freak out.
I definitely feel that way, but I think it's difficult to manage the fact of like producing and planning and organizing an event and like actually trying to host it from the side of like literally being the planner to then also like trying to interact and engage with people.
Yeah.
Because like you just can't do both. No. And so when I am trying to organize things with like, I don't know, let's say I'm just trying to think of like random things that I would maybe need to do, like go to a vendor and fix something at their activation or like actually create content at my events. Like I don't make videos at my events because I don't have time to. Like talking to people and I feel so, so bad if people come to my events and I'm just going around and I'm like taking videos and TikToks and Instagram stories of my own event. But I literally have to because sponsors like require it.
Yeah.
Like the only reason why I'm able to get like brand activations and have them help pay for events is because
you're posting about it.
Yeah. I have deliverables. Yeah. So unless I get all of the deliverables done before people get there, I literally have to be on my phone. And then I get so anxious and paranoid thinking like, oh my God, they're going to be mad that I'm doing this or they're going to think that I'm ignoring them or that I'm being a bitch. Cause I do have a resting bitch face.
I have a horrible resting bitch face.
So yeah, it is kind of hard, that's why I kind of like recently, I haven't been like planning the events myself as much, except for this nonprofit. Like I'm doing that 100% myself.
Yeah.
Lately, like there's been a couple opportunities where I just kind of like bring the people and I share the event and then I show up and I don't have to be the one that's like reaching out to people for the decorations and making all of the vinyls and florals and all of those things. Like there's so much that goes into planning events that I don't think people realize unless you are an event planner.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's so easy because for majority of people who come, they just show up and they have a good time. Yeah. But like for the person who's planning your run clubs, like that requires a lot of organization. Yeah.
And mine is like much smaller scale than these things that you put on. So I really can't imagine. Like it's just a run for a few hours and we just need some drinks and some like food and stuff. It's
no, don't sell yourself short. That's a lot.
No, it is a lot. And it is a lot for the team because I work on it with Free People. So with Free People Movement. So they help me a lot in the orchestrating of stuff. I try to help with like getting local vendors to give us like drinks, to gift us like drinks or snacks or whatever. And some of the things that I receive in the mail that like I don't need because as you've talked on your podcast before, I think about PR and crazy things like that. Like I definitely don't need everything that I get. So I try to like raffle it at the end and give people prizes and just how can I make it more fun? But it is definitely smaller than the things that you organize, but it's still really fun. And hey guys, if you want to come to the run, it's on first Saturday of the month, 9 a.m. first Saturday of the month.
When's the next one?
Free People Movement Store on Guadalupe.
Love that. Okay. Actually, by
West Campus, 9 a.m.
And you know,
be there more like 8:45.
April 6th.
It's about 3 miles. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Every single time that Amelia goes, she'll text me and be like, do you want to go to Taryn's run? I'm like, yeah, maybe. Send me the link. And then she'll send me the link and I never sign up because I'm like, I know I'm not going to get my ass up. I just know I'm not going to. And I hate running. I can't do
it. And it's hard on a Saturday to get up and go.
No, I'm okay with Saturday. Like my Saturday and Sunday I love because I will wake up early and I'll make sure I do something all day. Sometimes I'll sleep in. But I like doing active things during the weekend.
Same.
Because you have all the time.
Sundays can be hard for me. You went to a cycle class yesterday though, so props to you.
I did. Oh, yesterday.
Right? Didn't you say you did?
Yes. Listen to this. Okay. So we have this group chat for our bar teachers and there was a text from a girl who said, hey, I'm sick right now. I'm feeling under the weather. I have a class on Sunday at 9 a.m. Is anybody able to cover it? And
so you taught.
I didn't see, well, you would think that. So I didn't see the text until a couple other people responded all saying that they couldn't. And then I was like, hey, is it a 60-minute class, 9 a.m., blah, blah. And she says, yes. I'm like, okay, perfect. I'll cover it for you. I hope you feel better.
Oh, no, it was a cycling class.
No, it was bar. Oh. And she goes, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I never followed up on it. And I also, we have this platform called Substink where you can find classes. If I need to like put up a class because I can't teach it, something's going on, somebody can claim it on there. Well, this class wasn't on Substink. I just didn't think anything of it because I'm like, oh, it was a pretty last minute sub. Maybe it's just not on there. So I show up and I get myself out of bed on Sunday morning. I was just so like aggravated too because I really wanted to sleep in. Mm-hmm. But it was fine because I was wearing a new workout outfit. So I had a little bit of extra motivation, yeah. Whatever. And I get there. I'm checking in at the front. I'm getting all of my mic pack and everything. And they're like, well, what are you doing here? Are you teaching today? And I'm like, yeah, I'm teaching bar. And they're like, oh, what time? And I'm like, literally at 9 in like 15 minutes. And they're like, no, there's somebody else is covering for her. I'm like, what? And then I was just so confused. So I like talked to the other girl and I was like, wait, I'm so confused. What happened? So it turns out that she put it on Substink. This other person had approved it and claimed it. But the girl who was asking for the class to be subbed didn't know that it had already been claimed before she put it in the group chat. Mm. So I didn't know that it was claimed. Whoa. So I showed up there. I was like, oh my gosh. Well, I was already up in it and moving anyways. And I was honestly glad that I was awake. So then I sat in my car for 45 minutes and I filmed probably like 5 TikToks that I deleted all of them. I don't even know what they were about. Just like yapping. And then I went to a cycle class to my sexy instructor.
Who?
Britt.
Oh, Britt.
You know
oh my
her.
God, she's so bomb.
We love her.
She's so bomb. The cycle instructor in Austin at Ride. I think she teaches at Barry's too. Her name's Britt. She's like,
she has everything under the sun.
She's insane. She's
I talk about her all the time.
Yeah. No, she's like a she's for really, sure you're obsessed girl with me. Crush.
A couple weeks ago, I was on Eli Rallo's live show downtown, and Amelia and Megan came, but you were busy that night.
I couldn't come. I was at the Blake Shelton concert.
Wait, and I love the outfit too.
Thank you.
I love them all. I wanted them all.
It was really fun.
So we did this segment, and it was called Yay or Nays of Unpopular Dating Questions.
Okay, that's
so
fun.
I wanted to do it with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Of dating specific.
Yeah, okay. Like relationship questions. So one of them, well, I'm going to make up my own too. They won't be the exact same. Shout out to Eli for this idea. I loved it. This was like my favorite part. Okay. Sharing locations. Yay or nay?
I don't think like in the beginning of a relationship.
Okay.
So I mean, true. I don't think it's a nay. Like, I don't think it's like a big deal if you do or don't, but I don't think it's like, I have to have your location type of deal.
Well, I think it's so weird. You go on like 3 dates and you're like, okay, send me your location. Yeah, I like, think that's really, weird. Like,
Ruff and I don't know if this is an American thing because he told me, he's like, I don't share my location with anyone. Like, and I met a bunch of his friends who are also Mexican and they don't really either, except for their parents. Like, that is it. Whereas for me, I have like so many of my friends on Find My Friends. I have people still from high school that I legit shared their location with me like 10 years ago. I still have it.
Do you ever look at it and you're like, why?
Yes, I'm
why
like,
do
I have this? Like someone that I studied abroad with that I have not spoken to in 5 years on Find My Friends. And Ralph was like, that is so weird. Like, all I have is my parents and my sister. Mm-hmm. And so for us, like, he was like, I mean, I'll share it with you. I don't care. But like, what it was just different. Whereas like, I guess for me, it was so normal to just share locations with everyone. But we started doing it maybe like 6-7 months in when I would go on runs and I would run alone. And I started to be like, ooh, like kind of scares me that I'm running alone sometimes. Like I'm going to share it with my boyfriend so that if anything happens to me, he has my location. And that's how we started sharing it. And then we just never stopped. But
yeah, I feel like whenever you start sharing it, it's usually from something that's like, you actually need to know where they are or like maybe their phone's going to die or they're going somewhere alone.
Yeah.
I don't even know when we started, but I think it's a nay if they refuse to share it.
100%.
If they're refusing it, I'm like, that's weird.
That's super weird.
That is super
and
weird.
And I think it depends on the relationship because I've been in relationships where I was like, I need your location because he had given me reasons to need his location. But in this one, I was very much like, you know, so I think it kind of depends. But ideally, yeah, I think if you're in a committed, serious relationship, it's nice to have for safety reasons. Mm-hmm. Fair nay, older men. I don't know, he's older.
Ooh, how old? I love that.
Me too.
And you're 25? Okay. I'm definitely a yay because also too, men's maturity is so different. I feel like a man at 30 is usually like 25 as a woman.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
100%.
Okay. What do you think is the maximum age gap until it's weird?
I mean, let's say we're only talking, you're over like 22 years old because it's very weird if you're 18 and he's like,
yeah. Okay.
So let's say you're at least like 23 and up because anything below that feels a little bit weird to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe like 22, I don't know. But anything, I guess, over 20 is better. But anything under that, no. Big age gaps are weird there. If you're 18 and he's like 35. I feel like that's
Wait, how many scary. Years apart?
So I, let's say me, 25, the oldest I would date.
Yeah.
I would say 15 years. I would not be
40?
Like, I think 40 wouldn't be like a deal breaker, but would I ideally seek that out? No. But like if I met someone that was perfect and it was amazing and he was 40, and for me, I don't, wouldn't really want to marry, or sorry, date in someone that has children, because I'm not ready for that by any means yet. So if he didn't have kids and no ex-wife and shit, like I would consider it, but ideally like no older than that. Like that would probably be the max.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't. Like 10, 15, but then I see couples like Natalie and Nick, like, you know, Nick Vial.
Yeah.
Natalie. Like, I'm like, oh my God, they're perfect.
How old are they?
They're like 18 years apart.
How old is she?
Which is crazy. I think she's our age. I think she's 25 or 26.
Yeah. So sometimes I feel like it does work. Yeah. And it's just like,
no, I know. And I'm like, I just, but if I didn't know that, I would not know that. I don't think.
Yeah.
I only know that because I've listened to his podcast and I just know.
Yeah. What about you?
Like the oldest that I would date? Oh, I don't know. I'm 26 now. maybe like 10 years older. But you are so right though. Like if there was a woman who was 30 years old and she was dating somebody who's 50, I wouldn't really think much about it.
So depends on where you're at in life.
But if you're 20 dating someone that's 40, or that's just sounds so much different.
It sounds so different. I think once you hit like 25 and up, it's a lot more like, it seems a lot more.
Yeah. And I also think about too, like your life when you get older, like if they're that much older than you,
I know,
the likelihood that you're going to live like a good portion of your life without them is pretty high. Like,
and children, it's hard too if you want to have kids. And he's a lot older because, actually, I think men's sperm cells last a lot. They last a lot longer than women's.
Do they?
My mom had me at 44, 43. Oh my God, and my dad was like 48-ish.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy. And I guess a lot of fertility is, not I guess, but I know that a lot of fertility has to do with genetics. So hopefully.
So how old are your parents now?
I'm doing the math in my head. Dad is 74. And my mom is either 69 or 70. I should know that. But she never tells me her age. Like, she's so weird about it.
Yeah. That's so crazy. Okay.
Yeah. So they're significantly older than most people's parents.
I think my parents are, I actually don't know. Yesterday was my dad's birthday, but I think they're 56 now. They're either 56 or 57.
That's young.
Yeah, they are really young.
They're really young.
I know. And don't worry. They definitely take every single opportunity to let us know. They're always like, when am I going to get a grandkid? And then they always do the math in their head. They're like, well, if one of you has a baby like today, we're going to be
like 75
and we're going to be 75.
Maybe we'll be 20. That's amazing.
Yeah. You're like, we're not going to see any of our grandkids get married. I'm like, okay.
That's crazy to even think about for me, but that's so cool that that's possible.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's a blessing. I mean,
okay. Yeah. What's another thing? I'm trying to think now. You can cut out.
Yay
or
nay. Yay or nay. Yeah.
Well, now I'm trying to think about the ones that she asked me. Oh, okay. Sharing a toothbrush. I just saw Nina Dobrev make she was in a video talking about sharing a toothbrush. Wasn't Nina? Yeah, I think
it was. I've done it, but like I would not ever keep that like as a regular thing. But I've done it under like dire circumstances.
Yeah, like you absolutely don't have one.
But ideally, no. I have a Philips toothbrush where you can like change out the head. Okay. So he has a head at my apartment that he can put his head on, and then I can put my head on.
If it's a difference of brushing my teeth with their toothbrush or not brushing my teeth, I'm going to use theirs.
Because, it's so
and
gross.
I would want them to use mine too, like clean your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. But not like, hey, I'm coming over, I'm going to use your toothbrush. Okay. But it's like, if it's a dire circumstance, of course.
Okay. Another one, splitting the bill on a date.
I'm so fine with that. Well, same. But I mean,
it doesn't happen that often, but like, I'm okay with it. I kind of like,
I was raised like you always pay for yourself. Like my parents just raised me like you always pay for yourself in whatever circumstance. And then I like have taken that into relationships, which maybe I shouldn't as much. And I should let him do more. And he does. And he always offers, like never once is he like, oh, we're splitting it. He's always offers. But sometimes I'm like, no, I want to let's split it or let me get this. But I don't know.
I don't have any option. I don't have any issue with it. He wants to pay for it.
If he's like, I'm like, thank you. But sometimes I'm like, okay, you've bought me like so many dinners this week. Like, let me get this one thing.
Yeah. I like the trade off. It's always nice you to pay for them sometimes.
Yeah. And if he was like, oh, we're splitting this, I'd be like, what the? No.
I would think it's weird though if they asked you to go on a date and then you're like, oh my God, yay. And you go on the date and then they Venmo request you. Yeah. I'd be like,
no,
what?
Absolutely not. Yeah. But I think it's fine. Because I think too, we need to like normalize, like, obviously it's great that men like, I want a man to pay for a lot of my dinners and my things like that. But sometimes like people are dating people that literally work jobs where they're not making $200,000 and can't just afford all these crazy fancy dinners and things like that. And like, there's just like times, Like, I don't know, in my past relationship, when I said, like, when I moved here and we were both struggling financially, like, I did not expect him to pay for all my things because we were both barely making enough money to pay our rent. So it was kind of, in that situation, it was like, okay, I know that we need to talk about our finances. And like, sure, you would buy me some things. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time, you know, sometimes we would split things because it was like, we were both struggling to make, to make enough money to even eat out.
Yourself.
But now, like, when now that I'm a little bit more financially stable and profit is, of course, I'm like, yeah, you can get me, you know,
yeah, you got me
for these things. But I'm not like, I would be like, nay, if he said we're splitting this, but I'm yay for offering.
Okay.
Every now and again to.
For a first date though, I.
Hell no. First date, he's paying.
Unless.
That's a red flag.
What if you don't like the date? What if you're like, I'm not interested. I don't even want you to pay for me. I'd rather pay for myself and leave.
I don't know. I'd still.
Or are you kind of like,
if
no,
I don't like it, I'm like more of a reason that I don't want to waste my money on this.
Okay. That's actually valid. That's, have you ever been on a date like that? I went on one. I went on one date. I think I met him on Hinge or something. And we talked about him for like 3.5 hours about doctor school or something. And I'm like, this is horrible. I hate it. Yeah. I hate it. I wanted to leave so bad, but I was trying to be polite. And then I'm like, wait, why am I trying to be polite again? I don't like you. I don't want to see you again. Like,
no. I went on one where a guy said he forgot his wallet at the end of the dinner.
Stop.
And I actually did have to pay for it because he literally forgot his wallet. And I never saw him again. So that, yeah.
You should Venmo request. Did you Venmo request
him? Yeah, I was like, what? And then we never saw each other again.
Wait, did you Venmo request him?
Yeah, I was like, I was like, I'm not going to pay for this.
Did you Venmo him the whole bill?
I think I only Venmoed him for his. So I was like, I'm never going to see you again. But I don't know. Yeah, I think that's an interesting one.
Used to be so conscious about it because I'm like, well, I want them to like me because if they have a bad experience on a date with me, then what if they tell their friend that they had a horrible, shitty date with this girl and then they're going to have a bad opinion about me? And then I actually don't know why I thought about it like that. Like, I have no idea. Like, what am I going to do? Date one of his friends? No, probably not.
And you're probably never going to see him again either.
So. You know, and I haven't. And I never have.
Oh my God.
I don't
What's
even
another?
Know his name.
I'm trying to think.
I'm trying to think of the ones that she had in the thing. Oh, one of the other ones was scheduling sexy time. She called it sexy time. Let's just call it like scheduling sex.
No, that's so odd to me.
I think that's like 100% a type A person. And I am not.
You are trying to like actively get pregnant.
Okay. No, that's so true.
But otherwise that makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's very planned, premeditated. It's just like not natural.
And I couldn't even I think I would just be thinking about it so much that I wouldn't even be able to like let myself.
There was a good amount of people at the show that said yay to it. They're like, yeah.
I mean, I guess if it's Valentine's Day, yeah, that's like, you know what's going to happen type of deal.
Yeah, but you're not like 8 p.m.
No,
sharp.
That's really odd. I'm not type A at all.
I'm a nay
so
for it
me,
too.
That's a big, big nay. Okay, this is what I'm curious about. Because for me, I like when I met Rafa, I was this way with past relationships, maybe because I just matured by the time I met Rafa. But like, I didn't care to know anything about his past part. Like,
about
how many
people
he's been with. I didn't care to know. I mean, obviously I did inquire like what happened in your past relationship in terms of whatever, like just the high level details, but I didn't care to inquire like, you know, super calculated questions about his past relationship or who she was or anything or what's her, like nothing like that. I was just like, give me a high level overview of your past relationship. Cause he was in an 8-year relationship before me.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, I've never been with a guy that had been in such a serious relationship. So high level details, but I never once was like, how many people have you been with?
Yeah.
Who have you been with? Nothing. Like, I prefer, again, oblivion is bliss. Like, I would just rather not know and just continue on with my life. It wasn't that way in the past. I wanted to know every little thing.
Yeah.
But I felt really peaceful knowing that I don't know all of those details. And I'm curious if that's a yay or nay for you.
First of all, I agree with you. I don't, even if I did know, I don't think it would faze me in the fact that, like, it doesn't matter because you didn't know me. Like, we weren't together at that point. So I can't hold anything that you did against you before we were ever together.
Yeah.
I just think that's silly. And also people who they are in college or going through a breakup, like you're just different people. So I don't think that like how many people you've had sex with to begin with is a conversation that you necessarily need to have unless you're casually seeing somebody and they're seeing other people and you're just trying to make sure that you're like being safe.
Yeah. Then that's totally
and healthy. But in terms of like other relationships, I think that at the beginning of starting to date somebody, you should definitely talk about your past. You don't need to tell them like all the intimate details about your relationship, but like a lot of who you are and what you're looking for in a relationship or ways that you've been hurt, I think have a lot to do with whatever last relationship you were in.
What you bring into the next
one. So like, I think it's important to know why, like why the person you're seeing acts a certain way that they do. But I think it's really fucking weird if they keep bringing up their ex.
Yeah.
Like at this point, if I were to bring up my ex or Connor were to talk about his ex 2.5 years into our relationship, I'd be like, that's like, why are we talking about this?
Yeah.
Like, it's just not so relevant to our lives right now. And also those relationships were like years and years ago. Yeah. So I'm definitely a nay. I agree with you. Like,
but some people like want to know how many people have you been with? Who are all your exes?
Oh, like, yeah.
Some
no, people I love people to know like that
information.
Too.
And for me, that would just keep me up at night. Like I would thinking about it and like,
yeah, I would rather just not know.
I just want to not know. Yeah.
It's information overload. I feel like the less information you have, you're able to form an opinion of who they are that you know, versus like the idea of who you think that they maybe were in a past life before you like knew them, which I don't agree with. That was actually one of the questions that Eli asked during the show. And then we'll have one more. Let's make it a good one.
Like, I'm sorry, but like saying like, yeah, you're farting in front of each other. Like, that's so not, like, that's just so like,
Okay. I'm a nay though. Like, don't.
I don't either. Yeah. I did
accidentally one time and it literally ruined my life. Like it ruined my life. Like I was so embarrassed. It's what's happened. Like if it ever happens, it's on accident. And it's like, oh my God, I know I should be comfortable in front of you, but like, I hate it. I think it's disgusting.
No, we don't do it. I don't know why I pointed to my phone, but we don't do it in front of each other. I asked him like, if you have to do it, that's fine. Just like go on the balcony or whatever. In my past relationship, that barrier was broken. And I learned from that. Like, I don't want to break that again because I think it's just like not enjoyable.
It literally it impacts your intimacy.
It does. And it did. And it was just like weird. And I, even though that sure says a level of comfortability or whatever, I'm like, I just don't want to be in bed farting with each other. That's weird.
Yeah, no,
I'm good on that. Like, I'm fine. Anyways, okay, what's the good one?
So do you ever have to get up and like go? Do you ever go in like the hallway? Yeah. Like, what do you do? You don't live together.
No, we don't live together. Okay. But I'll be like, I'm going to go on the balcony. And he does the same. He's like, I'm going to go on the balcony really quick.
Isn't it kind of funny though that like, you know what you're doing?
Yeah. So it's like, and it's so silly because it's like, fine, that's so normal. But it's more just like, I don't want to smell it.
Yeah, that's
I don't care if you let it slip and I do, but like,
oh my God.
It's just like a regular thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And everybody has like their own scent. I can't, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Well, okay.
But I'm fine with talking about shitting and pooping and like he can poop, whatever. Like we can be in a hotel room, go take a shit. Like, I don't care.
You think that's better than,
oh my God, I have to tell a story, but this is,
okay.
I don't know if this is really gross. So edit it out if you think it's gross, please. But
okay, let's hear
it. This is really horribly embarrassing. So we had not broken, because obviously the shit barrier takes a while to break.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just start dating and talking about pooping.
Yeah, no, and you only ever do it in like a dire need because like you're actually
this
like.
This was dire. So we hadn't really broken that. I mean, we'd said like, you know, we'd obviously addressed, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom. But we hadn't really like gotten into the weeds of like talking about, I have to take a shit, you know. This is right before we go on our first like real vacation together. So this is like last year, early last year. And we were going to Mexico for the first time together. And I think this was like, like our first real vacation together. We booked this Airbnb.
Why is it always in Mexico too? Like and, it's always and, after tacos or something.
We booked this Airbnb and the bathroom doesn't have a door on it. It's like an open concept.
Modern.
Great idea, right? And we get to Mexico City, we go and we eat these tacos and I just like downing them because they're so good. But like, and Rafa will say this too, like his stomach is very accustomed to eat a lot of the foods in Mexico because he grew up there and like he can just eat anything. Like he can eat anything, street tacos, he can, you know, have the water in his mouth from brushing his teeth and all these different things. And like, it doesn't affect him. Like he's fine. Cause he has like, I don't know. He's built he's built like a immunity. I myself have been to like, I've never been there. I had been to Cabo once, but whatever. And
oh, I had a really bad experience in Cabo.
Yeah. And so my stomach is so not used to what it's about to experience in terms of just different foods, different spices, all these different things. Of course. Right. It's called Montezuma's Revenge. That when the white person goes to to Mexico and they start eating and you know, the water and whatever, they can get ill. They can get the stomach bug. Regardless, we go to get these tacos. I don't know why I just explained that entire thing. We go to get these tacos. I eat them. They're amazing. Oh my God. We get home to the Airbnb. My stomach is bubbling. I'm like, ow, it hurts so bad. Oh my God. My stomach hurts so bad. But I just go to sleep. The next morning, I'm
isn't
like,
that the worst?
I'm like, it was so bad. I was like, Rafa, like, can you just step out in the hall, please? I need to use the restroom. Like my stomach hurts so bad from those tacos last night. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Of course. He goes out in the hallway. Little to my knowledge that the walls of this Airbnb are quite literally paper thin. So something horrific is happening to me in the bathroom. I'm sure I don't need to paint that picture for you. And he texts me, I think the walls are a little thin. And I was just like, oh my God, I start screaming. Cause yeah. So he basically heard the entire catastrophe and that day brought us closer forever.
Oh my God.
Now we can fully talk about everything when it comes to that.
No, it never happens like because you want it to.
No.
You just eventually have to. A similar story. I think I shared this one time. It wasn't in Mexico. Well, that did happen to me in Mexico at Squid Row. You ever been there?
Yes.
Yeah. Happened to me and Lily. There's a whole podcast episode about it. I think it's like the third episode I ever recorded, and we're talking about our experience on Squid Row. Horrific. But me and Connor went to the Well downtown.
Love.
Yeah, love. Except for...
The Well is the last place on all of Austin that I would think would give you...
Well, have you had the bone broth?
No.
But yeah, well, get the bone broth and you'll be able to understand. And we were living in the apartment together at this point, like on Rainy Street. And I refused to go to the bathroom because it was connected to our bedroom and you can just hear everything. So I went up to the top floor.
Like take the elevator.
The 31st floor. Yeah, I'm literally in the elevator, like clenching my butt cheeks. And I go up there. They're all locked. Like you can't get in there. And so then there's a couple other floors. There's either that floor, then on the 12th floor, there was the pool and there's usually a bathroom there, but I don't know why it was like locked, whatever. So I'm going down all these floors trying to find a bathroom. And then I finally make it down to like the lobby and I didn't. I'm not really one that's like very vulgar either. I don't really like ever talk about anything that's like gross or dirty. So I have though like one time, but a long time ago. Not recently, don't worry.
You know what? It happens to the best of us. Like, that's a normal thing.
But then in the morning, because he wasn't there, I felt like I could tell him about it.
Yeah.
So then that kind of broke the barrier.
See, it's always one experience that breaks it. And I don't know why, to me, pooping and talking about that is not as gross to me as, like, farting in front of me. Farting just feels really gross
to me. Oh, I saw this TikTok, and this girl was, like, very adamant that burps are grosser than farts.
Oh, my God.
Do you agree?
I totally don't agree with that.
I don't agree either. I don't agree at all. I have acid reflux. If I eat, like, tomato sauce, I'm gonna, like I'm
yeah,
gonna,
I have really bad acid reflux.
Yeah. I don't, okay, a gross, nasty belch. Yeah, but still, I think of.
Can't believe we're talking about this.
I know, weird. Like, that's okay. When you know that you're like.
Yeah, I think we need to have one substitute, yay or nay, in case that's like actually disgusting.
That's how you know you're like literally grasping at straws when you start talking about.
No, literally, what the fuck? I feel like I have a good one.
Ooh, okay, I have one.
What is it?
I have one of the girls who's gonna like this question for me. Posting each other on social media, yay or nay?
Okay, and yeah, this is a good question because I've been with guys that do post and get, and like my, and Rafa is not really a poster at all. Mm-hmm. He like doesn't post stories or anything like that, really. Sometimes he does, but like really rarely.
I just think Instagram stories are for girls.
Like with men who have like, who post mirror selfies and stuff. So it's kind of been both sides of the spectrum. Yeah.
And you dated them? Mirror selfie. It's not even like somebody took the picture of them and it's just like a solo photo. Like they took it.
And front cam selfies in the car.
Oh my
God. And pictures of the steering wheel.
Oh,
and I've really had an...
Wait, pictures of the steering wheel where it's like of their veins? They love that. What's the equivalent of that for a girl, do you think? Nail pictures? No, because I'm not really like showing your body. I don't know. I don't have any male followers, so, and I don't post
something like that. I've lost, it's crazy because a big amount of my followers used to be men and now like dissipate. Like
10%, isn't it awesome? 50%. I love it.
It is really nice.
It's awesome.
Okay, posting each other. I mean, yay, obviously. Of course, like I'm in support of posting each other, but... Like, I think it's weird if your man does not, of course, like it's really weird if he never posts you, I think ever, like that's very concerning. But I also think like sometimes people are like overcompensating when they're constantly posting each other.
And yeah, it's
I like know even of some relationships where like things are happening and it's the like back the most end, but then there's all person. This like love on the, so on social media, and I'm like, that's kind of weird. So it can kind of go both ways, but
I think it depends on their activity. Like if they're posting.
Yeah.
Frequently about their own life and they are actively never ever sharing you, like there's no sign of you on their profile whatsoever, then I think that's weird
for sure. If you're if you're social media, for example,
or Connor, like they don't like they're not just firing out a story, they're not just sharing like, oh, I'm on a walk, like they're not they're not really doing that.
He I mean he posts me in feed, like there's plenty of posts on his Instagram with me in it. So, and if there wasn't, I'd be like, what the hell. But he's also not the type to like, every time we hang out, post stories of me.
Yeah.
But like, if we go on a trip, we'll post each other, whatever. He'll repost my story. Like, I mean, I think we have a pretty normal relationship with it, but like, yeah, I think it's really weird if you are dating a man and you're not in his feed. Like that's really concerning.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten like,
or if you've been dating him for a long time,
people like to be like, girl, why didn't he post for your birthday? I'm like, we literally just went on a date. Yeah. Like we were busy hanging out with each other. Like, I think that's where I think social media gets a little bit too far is like the requirement to post about each other when you were literally sitting next to each other, like Valentine's Day or like your anniversary or something. Like, why do you need, if you really think about why you need to post that, it's so that other people can validate you. but like if you have a good relationship, I don't think that you need that. It's like, I just find it so annoying. I used to genuinely get like frustrated and annoyed that he wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, I actually understand why, because whenever we do post about each other, it just brings like more hate anyways. Really? So
like, do you feel like whenever you guys are post each
just
other?
Like critiquing, it's just yeah. always like a critique. Like, look at the body language, or like, look at the outfit, or look, it's just always something. Oh, it's so stupid. God. So it's like, okay, yeah. well, I just won't post anything then.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm just going to keep it private.
But then I say I'm going to keep it private. And then I decide I want to post something. And they're like, I thought you were keeping it private. I'm like, I can, it's not like I don't have a boyfriend. Like, yeah. relax.
You can never win.
That's my thoughts on it though. I think it is really odd and strange if they're like actively posting a lot and they're not showing you at all. And they're like refusing to. But I also don't think it's wrong if like, you just, like,
if you're more
you just,
private about it. Yeah. And I think it really comes down to your social media usage. If you're like a creator and you're posting your entire life all the time and you never share your boyfriend or girlfriend, that's kind of very strange to me. Unless you have a very specific niche like cooking and that's all you post.
Wait, there are. Yeah. I was going to say there's definitely but, people that I follow and like,
yeah,
I don't even know.
Like if you have a specific niche and it doesn't involve a boyfriend, that's fine. But if you're like a lifestyle influencer or lifestyle creator or whatever, and I think that's weird. But yeah, I mean, but ideally, like even if a man doesn't use Instagram very often, like I appreciate a little something now and again.
Yeah, everybody does.
But you don't need to be posting me all the time, but I appreciate something. Like
Or a long caption. Don't give me the long caption. Okay. I think that's everything.
I think that was
we just chit-chatted for literally so
and
long.
And that was like a lot of topics. I don't even know what you're gonna name this podcast.
What should I name this?
I feel like it was like career and work and TikTok, friends and like making friends, putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And then it was ADHD and then it was like, I don't even know. Literally, you should just say like...
Modge Podge. Modge Podge with Taryn Lamb.
Literally, like that was... I don't even know what just happened. I think I blacked out.
No, same. I don't know either.
I hope this like made sense to people because it only made sense in my like ADHD head. But sometimes I think that like I'm making sense.
Same. But when I listen to podcasts, I like listening to people just yap and talk. I don't necessarily want to talk.
Topic.
Yeah, I hate a single topic. I hate it. And I try not to do that, but sometimes I do. And then I don't really want to listen back to some of them.
Yeah. This was so fun. Oh my God. Podcasting is so fun because it's just so different. I've never done this because it's like when you're recording a TikTok, like you're staring at yourself.
Yeah.
And you're thinking about how you look and your body language and you have only a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. And this is like you just sit and yap.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. Breaking news. Taryn's coming out with a podcast now.
I don't think I can take that on right now. It would be fun. I also feel like if I ever did a podcast, like I genuinely have no idea what I was talking about.
Well, same. It's okay.
But then you just start yapping and it's so a blast. True.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun. I loved every minute of it.
Are you going to stay? It's Monday. Are you going to stay over? It's Bachelor.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what time it is. It's kind of, we got some time.
The only thing is I know
we have like
Sammy's
hours.
Out of town and Amelia's busy. So I'm like, do we wait for them? Also, we're going to dinner tomorrow.
Never mind. No Bachelor tonight.
Because I was thinking we could go to dinner tomorrow and then watch it after.
Okay.
Don't forget we have dinner tomorrow at Soto.
Don't worry. I did not forget. Okay. Thanks for listening, you guys.
Thank you for listening, guys.
I'll put Taryn's information in the podcast bio so you can follow her on TikTok and Instagram and her upcoming podcast.
You know what my upcoming podcast is called? Tearing It Up.
Oh,
but I was always said if I ever started a podcast, I'd call it Tearing It Up.
Wait, I love that. I was going to make like a lamb joke. Like, I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Sacrificial lamb? I don't know. That's what I thought of when I thought of lamb.
Bah.
Yeah.
Bah. Bah. Bah.